You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Broke like a little country. Rock and roll and blues. Cause we so love playing. The good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
Welcome to Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features discussions with and the music of local musicians. I am your host, Dave Lake.
Good. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am talking with singer-songwriter Karen Oliver. Karen will be singing two sets at the October 1st Friday for Folk Music Concert on Friday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue here in Savannah. Welcome to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Karen Oliver.
Well, thank you.
Well, let's get to know Karen Oliver. Tell me your musical journey.
My musical journey, I mean, it goes almost back to birth. So I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, which was extraordinarily eclectic. And so I grew up hearing everything from old time jazz to bluegrass to the new wave country, Emmylou Harris kind of stuff, and everything in between. You know, it was a very, very diverse musical scene in Washington, D.C., especially at that time. And we had lots of great radio stations and there was a lot happening. And when I was a child, my best friend's mother turned 30 on the day John Lennon was shot. And she had a meltdown, put herself back together, got all of her Beatle albums and handed them to her child. And she happened to be my best friend. And so we were goners from the time the needle hit the record. And way late to the game. And so, you know, spent years doing catch up by just, you know, massive deep dives. And by the next summer, I had begged and begged and begged my way into my first guitar. So that's where it started. And then I grew up doing a lot of choral work, a lot of choirs. I had 12 years of Catholic school, which was miserable. But the one benefit was I had an awful lot of music training, because there's a lot of choral music and a lot of chamber music, and we did an awful lot of that. And I had a really great vocal coach all through high school. I did a lot of musical theater, and then I started being in rock bands as well. So I kind of did everything, and eventually, out of just necessary drive, decided that a solo singer-songwriter was the route I was going to take. But it was a long and circuitous route.
So what is some of that route? I mean, going from singing choral music in high school, begging and getting the guitar early on, to songwriting.
Well, I mean, I started writing almost as soon as I got the guitar in my hands. I mean, a lot of that was inspired by the Beatles because they actually wrote their own stuff. So, you know, I wanted to do that from a very early age. I was still just singing in bands or singing in the show or and doing a lot of cover music for a really long time before I got brave enough really to put my own work out there. I mean, I adulted and got a degree in natural resource management, couldn't get a job, and I graduated, started to really write and write and write a lot more at that point. And so that's kind of when I went, well, if I'm going to starve anyway, I might as well start pursuing it. So that's when I really kind of started pursuing it. And I was living in Baltimore still at the time. And I went, well, I wonder if there's anybody else around here doing this. So I Google searched, or I don't even know if it was Google back then, Baltimore songwriters. And I found this thing called the Baltimore Songwriters Association. So I was like, oh, wow, there's a whole bunch of people who do what I want to do. So I showed up. And within a year, I was vice president. And then like a year later, I was president. And it just kind of went from there. And so it was these like Monday, every Monday, where people would come to play what they were working on and give each other feedback. And it was a very cool place to start being a professional songwriter. And then little by little, I just started touring more and working day job less, until finally it just made no sense to have a day job because I was just gone too much.
And where did you tour initially?
Initially, mostly just regional. I played a lot in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia area for a few years. And then I started going to the Northeast Regional Folk Alliance Conference. And so then I started playing up in New Jersey, New York, kind of venturing up that way, but through people I had met there. And then I just sort of kept branching out and branching out because I started going to the International Folk Alliance Conference. And then I saw people who were further away and I'd start going there. And so, you know, now it's, and then I showed up to the Kerrville Folk Festival because I got dragged there by my best girlfriend years ago and ended up with a tour in Texas. Just went to the festival because that's how it works in Texas. If they like you, they'll figure it out. And so I've been in Texas to tour for a long time, and then I moved there 5 years ago. So
you started locally with Baltimore area songwriters. Got heavily involved with them. And then you moved to the sort of Northeast area and started touring with them, and then International Association. So did you then travel internationally?
I've played a little tiny bit in England, and I've played a few times in the Netherlands, and I've not done much else of Europe other than that, but it's definitely on the radar. I'm hoping that the next time I play in Europe, I'll at least play maybe in France. My husband is French, so in theory, I should be able to play in France. And I have a little bit of French. The tricky thing with playing in places like Germany and France is they don't speak as much English as the Dutch do, so figuring out how to talk to them is harder.
Well, and you started then touring out in Texas, and so you moved to Texas.
Multiple years running. And then 5 years ago, we moved to Texas, mostly for my husband's work. Now I pretty much spend 3 days driving to get out to the East Coast to start touring.
And so most of your touring is still on the East Coast?
Yeah, most of it still is because that's where my base was for years. And so, you know, a lot of those contacts. I've done some West Coast. I mean, I've done the middle of the country a bit, but I wasn't doing that as much. And so I hadn't built up a lot of that before the pandemic happened. And a lot of what I did, even in Texas, a lot of what I had died because of the pandemic. And those venues have not been replaced. So it's gotten a little trickier.
Well, your journey has answered one question. My first question was, what does a gal from Fort Worth, Texas, talking all that French? But...
Yes. Well, I took French in high school. I took French for all 4 years of high school, and I didn't ever use a lot of it. But then, yeah, I'm from France, and I married him, so I work on it a lot more now. So I do have, you know, rudimentary French, but it's not good yet. But it's better than it was.
Well, your most recent album is Cherchez la Femme.
Cherchez la Femme. That is true. Yes. That was not necessarily born out of speaking French because there's very little French on the record. There's one song that has a little bit of French in it, and I think another song that has a reference to a French person, but no other words in French. But it's named Cherchez la Femme mostly because of my need to put a lot of women on the record. Because I started the album, a lot of the women that I knew who did studio work were quitting and trying to find other ways to make up the income because they never got hired as much as the guys did to begin with. And then the pandemic hit and nobody was getting hired as much as before. And so they just weren't able to do it anymore. And a lot of women were just quitting the business. And so I was like, well, if I'm making this album remotely and I can use anybody I want, I'm going to try and use all women so that they have some kind of an income stream. And I can put some spotlight on these women so maybe they get hired a little bit more. Because to this day, they just don't get as much work as the men. And so I was trying to mostly just not be part of the problem. And chercher la femme is actually an old film noir term from French cinema, which basically equates to sort of like a follow the money would be in an American film noir, or round up the usual suspects. Chercher la femme basically means that if something bad has happened or a crime is committed, somewhere, somehow, a woman is to blame. So I just wanted to take that term and sort of twist it on its head and use it to mean more of a, if you really need something great, why don't you look and see if there's a woman who does it first?
Well, from look for the woman who committed the crime or caused the crime to look for the woman who is the musician.
Exactly.
You said you made this album remotely. Were most of the women from your area that you're in now or from the East Coast?
Cheryl Prashker, who plays the drums, is someone I've known for a long time and used to live in Philly and before that Manhattan, but she's actually Canadian and had moved back to Canada. So Cheryl recorded all her stuff in Canada. I had a couple of people in the Baltimore area, a couple of people in Nashville, a few New York-based artists, because I lived in Manhattan for about 6 years too. So a lot of the women musicians that I know are in that area. So a lot of New York, but not all. Like I said, some Canada, some Nashville. I'm trying to think, and Baltimore, and where else? One of the New York, the clarinet player, I know from New York, but she lives in Italy then, mostly these days.
So a widespread international group of women.
Yes. Yes, that is the beauty of being able to record remotely. You know, anybody can do anything from anywhere. You know, the downside is it's a little harder to find women who can do what you need and also have the ability to record themselves. Because, you know, since it was the pandemic, nobody was going to a studio. So they had to be able to do it from home. I did all my tracking on my own. And the hardest part was finding horn players, because horn players, by and large, don't play a whole lot at home, especially if they live in cities. And so, you know, recording your horn part on your own. But they did it. We found them and they got it done.
So my guess is that you're touring right now probably draws quite a bit from this album.
It does. I play a lot of stuff from this record, a few things from the previous records. And I've got a whole swath of new songs too that I've been working on, so I'm gearing up to make another record. So I'm also playing a lot of brand new stuff, partly because you just want to play your brand new stuff, but also because it's good to get those songs on their feet and in front of people before you record them. It can change things. It can change how you think about them. It can change how you think about the instrumentation. I'm a firm believer that you really should be playing them out live before you take them into the studio.
So let's dive into that album. And the first song is Lay Your Burden Down. You have the line, "We've been walking uphill for a long, long time. It seems like the journey won't end. But lay your burden here. Or lay your burden down. Lay your burden here. Lay your burden with me." And so it really puts the focus on the narrator of the song.
This sort of idea that because we were all so alone, that, you know, nobody does anything alone, you know, and that you should lean on other people. And I always consider that song sort of an invitation for people to just sort of set that stuff down right here in this space with me. You can let this go for a minute and just be. And I, as a result, I frequently open the show with it for that reason, because I want to kind of set that invitation that, like, this is a space where you can maybe just put your troubles down for a little while.
Take care of yourself, because we need.
We all need some rest.
sun, take care of yourself, cause we need. Take a break, take a nap, read a book, sing a song, take care of yourself, cause we need. Call a friend, have a laugh, take a walk, get some sun, take care of yourself, cause we need. Take a breath, take a nap, read a book, sing a song, take care of yourself, cause we need you.
Yeah, music can do a lot to soothe what problems that you have.
Yes, it certainly has for me. I know from personal experience that it does that for me all the time. I mean, I can literally say I think that music saved my life more than once.
The second song on the album is really sounds like a song of loss, and that's Jenny.
Yes. Jenny is definitely a song of loss and regret. Of jangly pop bands that I loved so much in the 90s, like the old 97s. But yeah, lyrically, it is definitely a song about losing somebody and having to sort of slowly come to the realization that you might be the one to blame. You know, there's a tendency to want to always put the blame on somebody else when a relationship ends, but the more honest thing to do is to kind of go, well, what was my part in that? Which is harder, much harder. And that's kind of where that song comes from.
It's a sense of coming to grips with the fact that this person is lost to you, because it's like 6 months sitting on the phone here, finally got what I had long feared, just looked up and you were gone. Initially, it seems like the person was surprised.
Oh, yeah, I think so. And surprised that their own behavior actually led to this in the end, because they didn't even notice right away, because they were too busy just sitting in their own stuff to realize that it was impacting somebody else, and that finally that person got tired of it and just left. You know, because if, you know, you can't be the only one in a relationship trying to work on it, and it takes both people. And so my protagonist was not doing the work.
Well, that became clear because you waited 27 years here, tried to help me see my way clear, never made it out of low gear. Yeah. So that's the taking responsibility, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's sort of like, you know, coasting and never actually trying to learn and do better, you know, yeah, will eventually have an impact. It is a cautionary tale.
I understand.
The third cut is in Galveston. Now, I immediately thought of Galveston, Texas, because you live in Fort Worth. But then starting with the lyrics of 15 blankets on the bed tonight, all pulled up to my eyes, you know, doesn't sound like the Galveston I know.
But it was Galveston in the winter of 2020, because 8 months after we moved to Texas, there was a deep freeze across the entire state and the statewide power grid went out. And people froze to death in places like Galveston. And other people's homes were destroyed because the pipes burst because they had no heat. It was in the teens everywhere. And that was when I learned that Texas, for all its independence, had decided never to connect its grid to the rest of the country. So when their grid failed, they couldn't get power from anywhere else. And I just went, oh my God, I live in a third world country. And it was happening around us. I mean, we got lucky. Our power barely held, but it held. We turned our heat way down and were very cold, but we didn't freeze to death. And we only lost water for a couple of days, but other people were in way worse shape. And like I said, people actually did die. And that's actually what that song is about. It's about the greed of the power companies and the powers that be in Texas that never changed anything, despite the fact that this had happened before, and they swore they were going to make the systems more resilient, and they didn't winterize anything. And so when it went bad, and it was really ugly. And so, yes, they froze to death in Galveston, which is kind of the point, which is why the person in the song always also says, I thought it was going to be the hurricane. That if something was going to kill me, I thought it would be the hurricane. But no, he froze to death.
Yeah, 60 years ends with the strangest joke. Thought the hurricane would bring me my demise.
Yeah, because that happens all the time in Galveston. They're used to that. You kind of expect that you're going to have to bug out and the hurricane's going to come blowing in. But you don't expect that it's going to get, it was in the teens everywhere for a week or more. And you're going to die because you're freezing to death and because there's ice everywhere so you can't get out.
Yeah, and again, the blame lays at the, bless the market, bless the billionaires. Always thought I'd be that way. Could be a jackpot in my pocket now. So it seems like there is the challenge to the rich about what happened.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, Texas is a big oil-based state, and they're very, very proud of their independent grid. But they don't care enough, and they're so interested in their independence that they won't regulate anything. You know, I mean, there was a fertilizer plant that was right in the middle of a town in East Texas several years ago that just exploded in the middle of the town because they won't regulate anything. And nothing changes even after things like that happen. And I wrote it that way because I thought it would be sort of the ultimate irony that this guy freezes to death in a place where nobody should freeze to death because of the greed of a lot of billionaires while he's got a potentially winning lottery ticket in his pocket.
Yeah, and the chorus goes, when the lights go out in Galveston, darkness seeps into your skin. When the lights go out in Galveston, it's the coldest place I've ever been.
Sleeping in the sky.
I also thought that would be more talented because you don't expect Galveston to freeze. But also because, frankly, Galveston sings better than Fort Worth.
Are there other songs that involve Galveston?
Good enough for G-Web. It was good enough for me.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by Arts Southeast's Sulphur Street Fair. The Sulphur Street Fair will be on 39th Street between Bull Street and DeSoto Avenue from 5 to 9 p.m. on October 3rd and will feature local artist vendors, live painters, music, and food and drink. More information can be found at artssoutheast.org. The first Friday for Folk Music Concert on Friday, October 3rd, starting at 7:30 p.m., features two sets with award-winning folk songwriter Karen Oliver from Fort Worth, Texas. Her original, authentic, and compelling songs reach deep into your heart. The concert is at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue, Savannah. More information can be found at savannahfolk.org. The Chatham County Health Department is now scheduling appointments for a mammogram without charge event at the Health Department's Midtown Clinic at 1602 Drayton Street on October 29th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Appointments are limited and must be scheduled in advance by calling the Chatham County Health Department at 912-356-2946 or 912-307-9235. Evening Eclectic features weekly conversations with and the music of national and international musicians from a wide range of musical genres. Join me, Dave Lake, your Evening Eclectic host, and these musical guests each week on Sunday nights from 8 until 10 p.m. on WRUU. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I am talking with singer-songwriter Karen Oliver. Karen will be singing two sets at the October 1st Friday for Folk Music Concert on Friday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue here in Savannah. The next song is The Game. What's the origin of this one?
The Game... I used to get invited every year to be part of this really tiny song contest that was invitation only. And every year at the beginning of the month, you would get a prompt and several things that had to be related to the prompt. And every year at the beginning of the year, you would get a prompt and several things that had to be related to the prompt, words that had to be included, some kind of point system that I don't really understand. And every single year, you got bonus points if you could manage to use the word monkey. And this particular year, Paul Lloyd, he's just this guy who made the contest up. And Paul sent out this contest prompt and made everybody really ticked off at him because he decided that that year's contest prompt was songwriting contests, which I just cringed over. I was like, I can't write a songwriting contest song about songwriting contests. And having been in a few, I decided to kind of pull from some of my own experiences and some of my own ambivalence about songwriting contests, where I managed to figure out how to write a songwriting contest song about songwriting contests that included the word monkey.
Well, this strikes me as a winner.
It placed. I don't think it actually won, but it did place. There were a lot of really good songs about that, shockingly, because, you know, everybody else that I knew that was in the contest was like, it's a little meta for me. I don't know.
The How You Worked Monkeys In was in that at least one person thought that they think you're trained monkeys, you know, learning some new tricks to make people smile.
Yep. And he's also in the contest.
He didn't win the contest.
We never find out who wins.
Okay.
I figured that I would leave that up to your imagination. We never find out who actually wins the songwriting contest. So...
Although we do hear some negative things about the judge.
Yeah, a nod to some personal experience. Coming up against relatively slimy humans is occasionally just a thing we have to deal with. Although I will say, although the major songwriting contests in recent years don't have any of those kind of people.
Oh, that's good.
Not that I've run into, so no, yeah. But luckily I'm a little past the contest thing now. I don't do those anymore so much. Except I was still doing this one just because it was fun and Paul was a friend and it cost nothing to enter. And if you won, you got like an old softball trophy and tape your name onto the bottom. And that was your prize for winning. So it was, you know, it was fun to do more than anything else.
Just to play here, claims she doesn't need to win. Daniel's drinking in the day. someone just last year. Sarah's sitting high on her fence. Though she hates to see, a prize might mean a tiny little boost to her career. Na na na, lay your money down. Na na na, play the game. Na na na, lay your money down. Na na na, play the game. Theo thinks we're all trained monkeys, learning new tricks to make you smile. Is Judge Joyce harmless? While his whiskey breath crawls on my skin. Me, I mutter, it's just a contest. It's just a contest. It's no big deal. Swear that's how I feel. But I suppose I'd really like to.
And the next song is Pelican. And this song is very clear that you did indeed find some brass players.
Yes, indeed. That song is about my late sister, and we very, very much wanted to give her a second line. And so that's when we had to find the horn players. And it took quite some doing, but we got it done, and I was very happy about how it turned out. They did a great job.
It's a wonderful second line. Has such a New Orleans flair.
Which is exactly what we were aiming for. Yeah, it was wonderful. A lot of that was Kat's idea. But as soon as we started talking about it, I was 100% on board. I was like, oh, that would be perfect. She would have loved that. She was a party girl, my sister.
Well, it sounds like maybe partying in the Maryland, Delaware area, because the party over the Bay Bridge never ends.
Yes, Maryland. Absolutely, Maryland. Yeah, lots of summers in Ocean City. She spent a lot of time with her friends going to Ocean City and hanging out. She loved to go to the beach. She loved hanging out in the sun. She loved baseball. That's also in there, too. And all three of her sons played.
Yeah, the love of baseball is very clear. You believe in the slap of the ball on the glove. Sharp crack of the bat sounds like love.
Yeah, well, like when she passed, she had, you know, three boys who were all tweeners, teenage, and all three of them were very into baseball. And so a lot of her life before she got sick revolved around either going to see the Nationals with the whole family or going to one of the games of the boys. And so there was a lot of baseball. And she played softball also a lot, even all through adulthood. Before she became a mom, she was still playing softball.
Well, as a person who lives at the beach, I really appreciated the saltwater breezes, warm shell in my hand, dig your long toes in the sand, pelican, pelican.
Yeah, some of that is also there because there are some cultures that believe that the spirits of our ancestors are carried in birds. And I thought, well, if my sister was ever going to be a bird, she would have been a pelican because they're always over the water or on the water or you know, and they're long creatures. And she was also a very long creature. My father used to say that when she was born, he thought he had little money because her fingers and her toes were so ridiculously long. And so she is a pelican. And every time I see one, I sort of say hi to her.
The next song is Truth, as it puts it in the context of what's the truth about a particular event.
Yes, or about a person either. That song is kind of about the dangers of the destruction of truth and what happens when we're constantly making up stories and telling lies and otherizing people. And I sort of loosely draw from some of the iconography of Nazi Germany to kind of make the point. And there were just sort of images that I just couldn't escape. So they ended up there.
Yeah, I saw the idea of toting a star from a foreign country into town that held no mercy and thought perhaps of the Holocaust and the Jews in Germany. But also, you know, they wore the badges of their history, which I took it that it's a more broader metaphor. we sort of all carry the badges of our history. And if people around you like that, you're accepted. If they don't like that, you're rejected.
Yes, absolutely. The badge of your history is very contextual. And so it can make you very proud, but it can make other people very unhappy with you. It just depends on what it is and what their experience of that history is.
And the badge of your history being from a foreign country may be the color of your skin, maybe the accent that you have, maybe what other people think is a characteristic of people from your country.
Yes. Or your badge of your history could also be like, you know, the emblem of your own racism. So it can be on either side of it.
Next song, I was particularly attracted to because of the instrumentation. You paired up the guitar and the cello, I believe. Dance With Me.
Yeah, that one. That is a song actually that was written for my husband. I wrote it as an anniversary gift. And the song is really about just the little things that we do for people that we love that are really not so little after all. It's just the little things that make him special to me, really, that aren't little to me.
And this is the song that has the lines in French.
Yes. Not very complicated French, but it is French. Je danserai avec toi, which basically means, if you would dance with me, I would dance with you. And that's all it means. But it sounded good.
Well, and now I see the context. Album ends with Cry Hallelujah. What's the origin of this?
That song kind of had two that it was coming from. Part of it was, it was the height of the pandemic, and I felt like everything was going out into the void, and I was just sort of waiting to hear if there was an echo that would come back. And so that's sort of where the chorus kind of came from. But the other thing came from something that one of my favorite writers once said, and I'm going to paraphrase because I won't get it right. But Maya Angelou is known to have said something to the effect of, I did the best I knew how to do at the time. And when I knew better, I did better. And so I kind of meditated on that idea for a long time because I've always loved that quote that basically just says you just sort of have to forgive yourself and learn from it and commit to doing better going forward. And, you know, that's just sort of what life is, just kind of learn and try to do better. And so that's, those are the two kind of themes that I tried to marry in that song.
So tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I've been talking to singer-songwriter Karen Oliver. Karen will be singing two sets at the October 1st Friday for Folk Music Concert here on Friday, October 3rd at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church, Stewart Hall, 520 Washington Avenue in Savannah. And I want to thank you so very much, Karen, for being on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for inviting me. This was a pleasure. It was a treat to just songs for a while.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.